Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan in just about 3 hours. The New York Yankees take the field again, looking to defeat the Chicago White Sox again. And maybe they get some help because the Red Sox play the Blue Jays again, and the Yankees need to pick up two more games on the Blue Jays. They're currently a game back. If they pick up two more games, that would put them ahead of Toronto and give them a chance to win the American League East. There was something last night. And credit, all the credit in the world goes to John Boy, who does a fine job of this. He's a lip reader, for those that are not aware. It's part of what shot him up to the fame that he has to this day. And so John Boy was reading the lips of George Springer. I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but last night, the Blue Jays were playing the Red Sox, and George Springer came up with the bases loaded and lined a ball down the left field line. For the life of me, it was a fair ball, and it would have cleared the bases. Those are not reviewable if it's before the bag.
Yes.
So I always joke the Johan play wouldn't have been reviewable. So it didn't matter.
Right.
So
it was whatever it was called.
That's
it. Is what it is.
It is not a reviewable play when it's in front of the dirt.
Yes.
All right? So it looked fair. It was ruled foul. George Springer was not happy about it. A few pitches later, George Springer was called out on strike three on a pitch that was out of the strike zone. Was it close? Sure. It was out of the strike zone. As you can imagine, George was very upset. John Boy analyzed what George Springer was saying in the dugout, and it's clear as day. And it is, Yankee fans, you got to hear this. He said, if you just want to give the Yankees the AL East, tell me and get it over with.
Wow.
So you had George Springer screaming at the umpire.
So he's screaming this, probably not in earshot. It can't be an earshot, because that might be an injectable quip.
Was he ejected from the game yesterday, by the way? I may have missed that part. I don't think he was.
I didn't think he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was either.
So if he wasn't,
yeah,
then he didn't hear that.
Yeah, the ump's definitely, because that's impugning your integrity.
Of course. That's telling the umpire, essentially, you're cheating. Right? You want the Yankees to win the AL East, and therefore, you're cheating.
Yes.
That wow.
That is egregious. Not egregious. That is an egregious claim.
It's an egregious slap down on an umpire.
Yeah.
That you can't do in the middle of a game.
Well, it's something that we would do. It's something fans would do. Like, I'm sure if you find Blue Jays Twitter last night, there's a lot of, the umps are trying to help the Yankees.
Right.
I'm sure that exists. And we do that as fans all the time. I mean, Boomer Esiason is famous for the screw the Rangers button. He's a fan. Like, he's saying what fans say. But for a player to actually say that,
wow,
is kind of nuts.
I would like to ask George Springer, what do you think is better for baseball? 3 rounds of televised New York Yankees playoff games or 2 rounds of televised Yankee playoff games?
So your argument's going to be the baseball suits prefer the Yankees in the wild card round?
So if the Yankees win, everybody wins.
Yeah. Do you think baseball prefers Yankees-Red Sox or Blue Jays-Red Sox next week?
That's a great point. I mean, you may be right. Mm. Like, the suits, especially at ESPN, who has the first round, they're probably like, more Yankees, the better.
Right.
Yeah. And then if they get through, you get 3 rounds instead of 2. That's just more money.
I'd love to see you argue George Springer about this.
Because the Blue Jays are already locked in. Like, they're already in the playoffs.
They are a playoff team, yes.
Right. But they want the number one seed.
Exactly.
That's what that is for them.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about the Yankees winning the division is it ensures you more Yankees later.
Guaranteed.
So that's a guarantee as opposed to the first round. But I don't know if I've ever seen a player do that. Now, obviously, he didn't have it, like, intended to be known by us.
Yeah.
It's not like he said to a reporter after the game.
He still said it.
He's also got some nerve, too, as a former Astro, mouthing anything about baseball, wanting the Yankees.
I was waiting for you to bring that up.
Wait a second.
Yeah, like, you know, wrong messenger there, George. Yeah. You know, let John Olerud parachute in and make that comment about the Blue Jays.
What I love, though, about this enhances the Yankee-Blue Jay rivalry. Mm. Like, it's still not really a... like, you don't like them, obviously. You don't like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I get it.
But you also,
it's not there
you
yet.
Also don't hate him.
Not yet.
I don't think there's a hate for the Blue Jays.
Well, keep this in mind, and this is a geeky little factoid about the New York Yankees. The Yankees have played every single American League team in a postseason series in their history, with the exception of two. The Chicago White Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm. They have never played a postseason series against Toronto. They have played a postseason series against literally every other American League team besides the White Sox and the Blue Jays. And if you really want to get nuts, if you want to include National League teams, it's literally almost everybody.
Seriously?
Yeah, there's like five teams.
This
like,
is going back all time, right?
All time, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And obviously the Brewers were in the American League, so they played them in the postseason back in 1981. But it's the Washington Nationals, the Colorado Rockies, and that's it.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody?
They're missing them because they haven't been good.
Right, they haven't played them in a World Series.
Right.
But every other team, Mets World Series, Marlins World Series, Phillies World Series, Braves World Series, Cubs World Series, Reds World Series, Cardinals World Series, Brewers LCS, Pirates World Series, Dodgers World Series, Giants World Series, Diamondbacks World Series, Padres World Series.
Wow.
It's literally the Rockies, the Nationals, the Blue Jays, and the White Sox.
That's crazy.
Right, and for the three of that four, it's just because they've sucked.
Yeah, sucking has a lot to do with it.
Right, they're just not in the postseason.
Absolutely. So how about that? Isn't that a little interesting?
That is very interesting.
Another thing sitting on the Yankees' horizon, too, that maybe we get to, too. Are they going to play a game tomorrow night?
Why? It's supposed to rain?
Tomorrow, and the forecast is up this, is supposed to be brutal all day and now into the night.
See, here's what baseball kind of screwed up last year. And I don't know if the weather, I haven't seen the weather, so I trust you on this. If the weather's that bad on Wednesday, they were better off, or Thursday, I should say, they were better off scheduling a doubleheader today and like getting ahead of it. Because the one thing you can't have at the end of a regular season are games not being played that you need to have played.
Right. It's what happened last year with the Mets.
And they had to play those games.
Of course. And now it made it dramatic and awesome with the Braves, but it would have been better if it didn't go into an extra day.
And
it was great for us from an entertainment standpoint.
Sure, but it wasn't fair also.
100%.
Like, think about the Yankee situation, and I don't even know how baseball would handle this. If they're a half game ahead of the Blue Jays, okay, but they're only a half game because they had to cancel Thursday's game. Hmm. The Yankees could say, no, we got to play the game because if we play the game and win, we win the division.
Yes.
We don't play till Saturday. If they lose the game, they got to play the next day in the wild card series. You have to play that game.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it wouldn't be fair. It's not fair to Toronto to say you don't win the division with the Yankees a half game ahead. That's BS. That's not fair to Toronto, and it's also not fair to the Yankees.
Yeah.
If the situation was vice versa.
This is going to get dicey with the weather.
And
I didn't even know it was paying attention to the weather.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be tomorrow morning, and I got wind of it this afternoon. Look at tonight, and it keeps building and building and building. Here's the other problem. It's not just raindrops that could be potential. There are thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So you can't just go run out there and play through raindrops if there's lightning either. We have that whole lightning thing.
Now, do you want to hear a preemptive, crazy, never done before idea if they can't play tomorrow?
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
What?
Yankees play the White Sox on Friday afternoon. Okay? They play them Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Then the Yankees play a doubleheader Saturday and a single game Sunday. So Yankees-Orioles Friday, goodbye. They play the White Sox instead. And the White Sox, I think, are playing like the Nationals over the weekend, so who cares?
Yeah.
But screw it, they'll play a doubleheader Saturday. So you make up the game on Friday, and then make up Friday's game with a double dip on Saturday, and end the season on Sunday. They should just make me commissioner and get it over with.
Evan, that is genius.
Right. But how many other teams get affected?
Just the Nationals.
Just the Nationals.
And the Orioles, they have to wait a day.
Right.
But remember, those two teams, they're not playing for anything.
Exactly, they don't care.
If you were hurting the competitive balance of another team in a pennant race.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey,
it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Face it would suck,
mm-hmm.
but you're not.
Yeah.
Boy,
that is genius.
They should make me commissioner. Mm. And I'll tell you another thing I'd do as commissioner. I wouldn't do this ABS crap. Either some computers, actually all computers or no computers. Don't give me this, we're going to do replay when you tap your head only three times a game.
If you have the ability to get it exactly right every time, why not just get it exactly right?
100%.
Every time.
I watched this in spring training. I didn't like ABS, but we'll get into that at a later date.
Yeah.
Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Oh, no. Poor little Georgie. Georgie's upset about a cheating scandal in baseball. Morris nailed it, absolutely. But I wasn't calling a trash bringer, although that's a favorite pastime. I'm calling to just be curious about the Giants' timing on potentially trading Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. The Cincinnati Bengals called up the Packers the second Burrow went down and offered a six-round draft pick for Malik Willis. I think Gutekunst hung up on Cincy, called them back just so he can hang up twice. So that wasn't a good enough offer. I get it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, after a game like the one that Russell had against Dallas, that's going to be the highest value that man is going to hold for you as a team to potentially trade him.
Right.
So not trading him then, when you potentially could have gotten, I don't know, a third rounder, fourth rounder.
The problem was it's week two. It's really hard.
I don't disagree with that. I know that it's early, but I mean, think about it this way, right? At the end of the day, now you have no leverage trading a guy like Russ. If you were to let him play another game and say, oh, we really hope he does well the next game, and then maybe we can trade him on a little bit of a higher note, great. But you've benched him after probably one of the worst games of his career against Kansas City. What are you going to get for him now?
That's a good point.
I'd offer a six-round pick.
You cut his value.
He nailed it, man. And it's funny because
it's hard to trade a guy after week two.
Trading is hard.
I know. I hear you.
Dude, I have this discussion all the time with baseball fans because usually baseball is the whole trade thing. Jeff McNeil is red hot. And I say, trade Jeff McNeil. And fans are like, why would you trade Jeff McNeil? He's right on.
What was this, 2 years ago, three years ago?
Every year for the last 5 years,
right.
No one wants to trade people when it's hard.
Right.
You want to trade people when it's easy. Like right now, Met fans would trade David Peterson for a bag of balls. If I said to you in June when he was having an all-star first half, I want to trade David Peterson.
When he just throws a complete game,
trade him. Would anybody say yes?
Yeah, but you would have been wrong to trade him then.
No, or you would have been right. Just like last week.
The only pitcher giving you length. The only one.
I know, but
they set a Major League Baseball record for lack of depth.
But look what happened. When you trade someone at their height of value, look what you can get for them.
But the problem is you needed him. You needed David Peterson back then.
And last week you needed Russell Wilson, right? Because he was coming off 450 yards against Dallas.
No, you didn't.
Then how come when we brought this up, all of us were like, you can't do it.
In real time, yes, we needed Russell Wilson. But then we saw the Dallas Cowboys play the Chicago Bears. And then we said, you know what? Jameis Winston probably could have done that,
but
too.
But that's the lack of foresight
that
we brought this up on Friday. I'll never forget it. You don't have to pull the order if you don't want Sean. But I said, and I even brought it up as a joke, you hear what they're saying on Reddit? Bengal fans are saying, let's trade for Russell Wilson. And we had a discussion about it.
And that was right after the Cowboy game.
It was right after the Cowboy game. And your answer was, you know what? He just threw for 450 yards. When the Giants are out of it, or if they're out of it near the trade deadline, I'll consider it.
Right.
It took 5 days for all of us to say, what were they doing?
Now, there's that part of it, but can we also give the Giants a little bit of credit here? Why were the Bengals making that move after week two? They liked Jake Browning. They wanted to see more of him. Now, he stunk.
Well, because they knew that Jake Browning was a potential liability. He's a turnover liability.
Okay.
That's just who he's always been.
But he's also been a guy that 2 years ago won games for them.
Of course.
The question that we will never get an answer to, it's lie detector test, and I'd love to hear this from all general managers. Hey, Joe Shane, did you have any conversations about trading Russell Wilson after week two? Did anyone call you? Not did you call other people. Did anyone call you? That's what I'd love to know.
Yeah.
Because it's a great point, Chump. Maybe the Bengals are like, we're good with Jake Browning. We're playing fantasy football here. But if someone did make a call and you're like, nah, man, he threw for 450, that is short-sighted, especially when we all knew he was eventually being replaced by Jackson Dart.
I agree with that. I think we're just jumping to conclusions thinking the phone was ringing off the hook.
Last week when I brought this up, what'd you say?
I don't remember, to be honest.
You don't even remember?
No, we weren't ready for it yet.
Right. Okay. Why not? If it was only going to take one bad week for us to then say, oh, it's Jackson Dart time. What does that say about us?
I probably said I was open to it. Because I remember I was the one saying, I don't think the Dallas game quiets it down.
I apologize. You just created more work for yourself. Find the audio then.
Okay.
All right? Instead of us speculating. Right. That's the beauty. We always find the audio of the things we say.
Sure. When was this now?
I think it was Friday. I don't know. Search the podcast or something. Okay. Trading Russell Wilson.
Oh, I probably did that. All right, let me see.
I'm sure you did.
I think it was earlier.
Was it Thursday?
Yeah.
Wednesday? Monday?
I think it was like Monday.
It was the day after.
Or Tuesday.
Tiki's right. It was definitely earlier in the week.
All right, check it out. Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All's good, man.
What's up?
So, Evan, I know I was in the same boat as you guys, thinking that the Mets were just going to tear the cover off the ball this year.
Yeah.
But looking back early in the year, I mean, their offense really wasn't maybe what we thought it was, because I know we've all been waiting for them to break out 6 months now. But what more could we ask for from Soto, who's having an historic year? Lindor's going to go 30-30 again. Pete's having a great year. Nimmo's giving us a career year. So, you know, you look at Vientos and Alvarez, and we never had a center fielder. I think you could go out there and be better than some of these guys they ran out there. I don't know where the upgrade comes from. They relied on Alvarez. Vientos, we've seen those guys do it one time. So what were we? Would you be just looking through rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, I think. Well, first of all, let's address just the basic stuff. The Met offense has been a disappointment. Yeah. It's just backed by the facts right now. Like, six teams in the National League have scored more runs than the Mets.
Yeah.
So they're 7 of 15.
And that's collective disappointment.
Collective.
Because individually, there's good seasons, as he was just saying.
Yeah, the top guys were great. The bottom guys weren't. So I think before we get into the whys, let's just get it out of the way. The offense has been disappointing. Okay? It just has. The facts back it up. And I remember what I said to you guys at the beginning of the year, that baseball's become so reliant on offense that if you score enough runs, you'll make the playoffs. Pitching has actually become overrated. Well, even though the Met pitching has been such a problem, I'm going to tell you the teams who've scored more runs than the Mets, and you tell me what you notice. The Dodgers are number one.
Of course.
The Brewers are number two. Mm. This is the one caveat. The Diamondbacks are three. Keep an eye on them. Phillies, Cubs, then Mets. Every playoff team outside of San Diego has scored more runs than the New York Mets, because that's the way the sport is. You have to score a lot of runs. And by the way, the Arizona Diamondbacks may well end up being a playoff team based on where they are right now.
Right, especially if they score more runs than the Mets do in the last five games.
Sure. So I think we're...
Even though they're not playing each other, but just in general, that's how you win games.
Absolutely. It's look, the numbers tell it to you, and they've been telling it to us for years now. It's not really about pitching. It's about offense. The Mets haven't scored enough runs. In terms of why I was wrong and we were all wrong, I think it comes down to the lesser players, like you said, Teak. Mark Vientos was a disaster until recently.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get enough production from catcher. We all figured it would be better. It wasn't.
Yeah. And again, some of it is circumstantial, because I don't know what the issue was with Alvarez at the beginning of the season. And he went down and he was hurt, probably goes down, he gets right, comes back, gets hurt again.
Yeah.
He just hasn't been healthy this season. And it's hard to win when one of the guys you're depending on is not healthy. And then Vientos, he was spotty for a while. Then the follow-up to his rookie season was like a shell of it until it was almost too late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if he had just continued, not gotten significantly better, but just been the same that he was the last 50 games of last season, Mark Vientos, this Mets team would be not worrying about how many runs they're scoring.
It'd be completely different.
100%.
I think he's the guy. I mean, we could talk about the center field production, the catcher production. It's all true. The drop-off from Vientos was the biggest blow to this Mets offense.
Because, I mean, think about the platitudes that were getting thrown at him.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yep.
I mean, I think it was Gary, right, that said, hey, he looks like Giancarlo Stanton. I'm like, he's not that big. Then you see him, you're like, yeah, he's actually that big.
And Tommy called him a rock star.
100%.
Well, maybe just a one-hit wonder rock star, but a rock star.
He just disappointed in his sophomore year. It happens sometimes.
And it doesn't mean he won't bounce back next year. I don't think we're all giving up on him, especially with the way he's produced recently.
Right.
But to define why the Mets have underachieved offensively, I think that's the answer. Now, today, with the news that Jackson Darter is replacing Russell Wilson, we've taken a few calls on it. Hey, why not trade Russ? We now can go back to our conversation from a week ago. What day did we talk about it?
September 18th.
September 18th is 6 days ago. Mm-hmm. So that was on Thursday. So it was later in the week.
Yep.
Now, set it up.
All right. So I'm going to play two pieces of audio.
Go ahead.
One is you gave Tiki a little more time before you peppered the Muppets back here for it. So we're going to play Tiki.
Are you calling yourself Muppets?
Yeah. You know, the two critics in the Muppets.
Yeah, Waldorf and Statler.
Okay.
Tiki and the Muppets.
I'm glad you knew their name.
Yeah. Good job.
Love the Muppets when I was
good. I did too.
If I ever like just quit, like I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do sports talk radio anymore. I hate this. I hate my teams, which I thought about the other day. And so I'm just gone. And the bosses that are around there are like, I want to keep the show pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think you nailed, or you nailed, the name of the new show. Tiki and the Muppets. That's it. Tiki and the Muppets. So, architect, you can pay me later.
I'm not even offended by that name. I like it.
Well, you created it.
All right. Now, do we want to play the audio?
Yes.
Go ahead. All right. Let's go. You pose the question to Tiki Barber. Here's Tiki's answer.
Why would we do that, first of all?
Why not? You got Jackson Dart.
Maybe you trade Jameis Winston.
Now, then they're not going to want Jameis Winston.
That's the one that people should be, you know, clamoring for, even though Jake Browning actually looked pretty damn good.
Yeah,
despite
but
throwing multiple interceptions.
But Bengal fan 882 said Russell Wilson. He didn't say Jameis
Winston.
Why
would he want Russell Wilson? Why would a Bengal fan want Russell Wilson?
Well, that part
because
is
he just threw for 450?
Yes! So you said two interesting things. First, you said, why would you do that?
Right.
Well, it took 4 days for us to be like, here's why.
Well, I mean, I have my thoughts on Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I gave them to you 2 years ago.
He was washed.
And so when he has one great game, doesn't mean he's going to have eight great games. We said this at the beginning of the season. I don't know if you're getting great games from Russ one time this year, eight times this year, no times. I had no idea. We got one before he got pulled because he had two really, really bad ones.
Yeah.
And so when that was brought up a week ago, my thought was the same. What has he done over the last 4 years that make the Cincinnati Bengals, who have Super Bowl aspirations, obviously if Joe Burrow comes back and is healthy, why is Russell Wilson your guy?
Because he's better than Jake Browning. I think that's the simplistic answer.
Yeah.
It's the
is
same
he better than Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't think Russ is nearly what he used to be, but, and I'll give you another team. I'll throw another team at you because I'm learning because we kind of brought this up. Don't believe everything you see.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff McNeil has a hot month or Russell Wilson has a big game. If I'm the Vikings, I'm buying Carson Wentz now. Are we serious? One good game now. I'm back
on Carson Wentz. There's an unknown about Carson Wentz that's it's enticing and also scary as hell.
Who would give you a better chance to win? Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson at this point in their careers?
Well, Carson's much younger.
I understand that. Who gives you a better chance to win this year?
I mean, honestly, neither of them. But
neither.
I probably would say Carson Wentz.
Oh, come on.
I'm not even
but
joking.
But then why didn't you want him during the offseason? We could have. The Giants could have added him.
Because Carson Wentz didn't bring the intangibles that Russ brings.
Okay. So the leadership stuff?
100%.
All right. You had a good answer to that. Okay. Right, what's your second clip?
All right. So this is going to be 1 minute of audio. It is the sheet of integrity. Would I do it? Would Tommy do it? And you, because you find ways to do this, sort of finally answer it at the end whether you would do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Would you trade Russell Wilson to the Bengals right now?
No, I would not. I believe in the giant. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Tiki's. I believe in the giant culture they're building right now.
I heard that Tommy would not only trade Russell Wilson to the Bengals, he'd move him there.
I would drive him there. I'd pack up him and Ciara right now. You have Jameis Winston. He could be the starting quarterback. I'm sorry. There's not a big. Sean will probably get mad at me for this. There's not that big of a gap between Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. Jameis makes more mistakes, but Jameis Winston would have thrown for 450 yards on Sunday. Definitely.
Yeah, but he also would have thrown two interceptions.
Well, Russ threw a big interception. You know, to me, you have Jameis as a fail-safe here. So if you could get a third-round pick and build for your future, it's about the future with the Giants, not the present.
I'm going to do you a favor, Tiki. I'm going to offer these gentlemen, specifically Tommy, the player's perspective, because I don't think he's looking at it that way. The biggest problem with all of this is the room.
Yes.
How do you go into the room early in a football season and say, we dumped our starting quarterback for some picks?
Especially after he and the offense had one of the most productive days in years.
Yeah, you can't do that. I stand by that. The player perspective would have been rough.
Yeah.
You're coming off of 450. Because right. I don't think the players are thinking the way you're thinking, I'm thinking, we're all thinking, which is big picture.
Right. Which is why it was easier after a bad game against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
To bench him.
Well, here's what I wonder. Do you have the Dexter Lawrence audio? Sean, pull that one up. All right. The Dexter Lawrence met the media today as well and gave his opinion on the quarterback change. And, you know, we heard Malik Nabers earlier, and it was right. get leaked the ball.
Yeah, Malik Nabers is Malik Nabers. He was being his diva wide receiver.
Right.
They're going to find one.
Yeah, right.
get the ball to one or whatever the heck he said.
Get the ball to
one. Which is awesome. But that's Malik Nabers.
So what you always worry about, and this was the point I was making last week, is not my opinion on Russell Wilson or getting a draft pick back. It's, hey, how's the room going to take it? The same thing you guys dealt with when they benched Kurt Warner for Eli Manning.
100%.
I haven't heard this yet. But this can be perceived as Dexter Lawrence not loving the move. Mm. Here's Dexter Lawrence on the quarterback change.
Do you think it's the right move for the team at this point?
That ain't my call, honestly. He's my quarterback now, so I'm gonna be by his side and roll with him to the end.
When did you find out, and how did you find out?
the same way everybody else found out.
So obviously he's joking about Twitter, but that first response of, it ain't my decision, doesn't feel like warm and fuzzy.
Right, right. Well, it also doesn't feel like I hate it.
No, I think you could take that however you want.
Yeah, exactly. He's Jackson Dart's. I honestly, it more sounded like I don't really care. I'm being perfectly honest. It sounded like I don't, it's not my job. I don't care.
Right.
All I got to do, I got to worry about on my side of the ball.
Right.
Russ hasn't been good consistently. I have no idea about Jackson Dart. I don't care.
The best answer, I know this wouldn't have got over well, but it would have cracked me up, is if Sexy Dexy was like, I don't care who the hell the quarterback is. Can you score some freaking points?
There was also a really glowing answer you about Jackson Dart, too.
Well, who cares?
By who?
By Dexter Lawrence.
Oh,
got it.
Oh, well, that does matter because that's more relevance to this.
This is audio of Charlotte Carroll's story. You want me to play it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that sounded like it could go either way.
Yeah. It sounded indifferent.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, at least worded, sounds like a much different tone.
Go ahead.
Definitely hope so. Jackson, he was my favorite coming out the draft. I like his game. Confident dude. Called him when I saw it, like everybody else saw it, and I said, I'm here for you. Take advantage of every moment, and don't shy away from the lights. Just go be yourself.
What made him one of your favorites coming out of the draft?
He seemed like a likable dude. I watched a little bit of him. I guess it's one of the tweets he made one time that I saw that made me say, okay, this dude, you know, he got a little something to him. You know, he's not just he's not just the average guy type of thing, but I like his game and I'm excited for him.
He's not a cookie cutter quarterback. That's basically what he's saying.
Right.
He's not trying to be Mr. Popular, Mr. Perfect. He's saying, I'm me. That's Jackson Dart.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely is a much more positive answer. I just think going back to the trading Russell Wilson thing, I'd do it. We would have done it. It would have made sense 6 days ago. I do think selling the room and answering questions last week after throwing for 450 yards would have been very different. I don't know what Dexter's answer is.
No, I agree with you.
That's rough.
Right. Off the Cowboy game doesn't make any sense at all.
Let's go to David in Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, David?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. How's you doing?
All's good.
What's up?
Listen, did you happen to see the game Monday night with the Lions and the...
And the Ravens.
And the Ravens?
Yeah. Of course.
Do you think the Jets... Very entertaining game, by the way. Do you think either one, the Jets or the Giants could beat this either one of those teams? I'll be generous here. In 3 years?
In 3 years?
I mean, that's a great question.
Derrick Henry's not going to be on the Ravens. And Baltimore's defense stinks right now. I'm going to say maybe Baltimore, but probably not the Lions.
Well, do remember that the Giants play the Lions this year, and the Jets play the Ravens this year.
The Lions' run game is ridiculous.
Now, the Lions and the Ravens, and I understand his point, because like even if the Jets beat the Ravens week 12, actually, Jets and the Giants are both playing those two teams the exact same week.
Oh, is that right?
Can't wait for that Monday.
That's a great week. Fun. Yeah, Jets are playing Baltimore week 12, 1 o'clock game. And the Giants are playing the Lions week 12. What is that?
That's
a 1 o'clock game,
yeah,
too.
They have to. It's the week before Thanksgiving. So the Lions are focused on Thanksgiving. A little look ahead spot.
Yeah, sure.
Dart upset.
Those are dueling ass whoopings.
They're just going to turn around and hand it off to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
Yeah.
45 times.
And then you won't stop them. I think the greater question is, and this is the question that is really depressing, when can the Jets or Giants ever get to that level? And right now, they feel very far off.
Yeah.
They feel very, and I totally respect that the Giant fan looks at Jackson Dart as a new hope, and I get it. You should. But even if he is the answer, do you have the right head coach? Do you have enough weapons on offense? What's your wide receiver room after Malik Nabers? Is your secondary as good as we thought? Like, there are still so many questions to get to the level of Detroit and Baltimore that even if the answer is more positive than negative on Jackson Dart, we still got work to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's not what we thought it was going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Linebacker is now compromised because they're having practice squad guys up. Secondary hasn't played consistently great. Defensive front is pressure's there, but not dominant, impactful like you thought it would be. There are ways away.
Ways away.
Ways away.
Congratulations to David Stearns, the team president of the New York Mets. One thing David has done very well this year is after he bleeps up, he admits it. Like, he doesn't wait too long after screwing up. I admire that about people. Well, about a half hour ago, he's admitted he screwed up. The New York Mets have ended the nightmare. Jose Siri has been DFA'd. So when you think of legendary Mets, you think of Jed Lowry, and you think of Jason Bay, and you think of whoever that infielder was we had last year that got cut in the middle of May. Left-hander, played third base, couldn't make throws to second base. The name is escaping me. Well, Jose Siri's joined the list. Jose Siri's Met career is over, and I think he'll be remembered for the fact that somehow he managed to hit 065, which is, like, really tough to do, and also be remembered for dropping a fly ball that somehow was generously called a double, even though it went right through the middle of his glove, and also misjudged a single that turned into a triple. But Jose Siri, we will never forget, 2 for 32, 063 batting average, 167 on base, 292 OPS. He's gone. Tyrone Taylor has been activated. So
Joey Wendell was the name you were
looking for. Joey Wendell. Zach Short, Joey Wendell. David does a good job of screwing up and then immediately saying, hey, my bad. Or, you know what he says after he screws up? No biggie. DFA him.
It's all good.
More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Now that the Mets released Jose Siri, wouldn't it be so fitting for the Marlins to claim him immediately and stick him in the middle of that order for the weekend series down in Miami? And Jose Siri
revenge
killed the Mets.
Revenge tour. Mets revenge series.
Yeah. Jose Siri sticks it to us again. I could imagine. Yes, I could. But if you are just tuning in, Mets DFA'd him. Tyrone Taylor activated as the Mets play game two against Chicago. More on the Yankees. They play game two against the other Chicago team. The White Sox trailing the Blue Jays by one game, but really two, in the American League East. But I wanted to play something for you because I thought this was interesting. And I'm trying to formulate an opinion on why this happened. But I wanted to play it for you. After the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the New York Football Giants, Andy Reid did his post-game press conference.
Right.
And I wanted to listen to it because, you know, why not? I got nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy went out of his way before ever answering a question to praise Brian Daboll and the New York Giants. And I've watched a lot of these post-game press conferences. I don't think I've ever seen it. Like, I see it a lot, like, in preparation for a week, where you're like, oh, they're good, they're well-coached, because you're building up your opponent. This is a rarity. So I want to play this for you. This is Andy Reid right after the game, unprovoked. There's no question. No one was asking him about the Giants. He went out of his way to say all of these words about Daboll and the Giants.
It all starts up front. That defensive line, Brian's done a nice job as their and their personnel department of getting these defensive linemen. That's as good a defensive line as there is in this league. And then offensively, he's got some good things going. He's got Wilson there, which is a plus. And then you got a young quarterback behind him, which is also a plus. So the sky's the limit, and they've got good receivers. So we looked at the tape. We looked at them playing Washington and barely squeaking. Washington barely squeaking out the win. We watched Dallas and where they really got after it in the Dallas game. And played well. But again, this game is the margin between winning and losing is so small. So I know New York people are very passionate. So give Brian an opportunity, man. He's got a great personality for this sport and for you people here. So
that is like I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah.
Like, well, he talked about the roster, but then even at the end, a message to us as Giant fans and New Yorkers, hey, be patient with him.
Dave's has a reputation around the league that is, it's all positive. I don't think you're going to find anyone who's worked with him. He's been in a lot of different places, from New England, where he was a bunch of different roles as a defensive assistant, then a wide receivers coach. He was with the Jets for a couple of years as a quarterback coach in 07 and 08, coordinator in Cleveland and in Miami. In Kansas City, this is where he worked with Andy Reid as the was Andy Reid there in Kansas City in 2012?
No, he fired. Here's the crazy part: he fired Brian Daboll.
Yeah, that was his first one hit job. And then he went to New England.
Yes,
where he won some Super Bowls. Then he went to Alabama. Then he was the Bills, and now he's here. He's been in a lot of places. And
yeah,
so he's interacted with a lot of different coaches. But they all have a favorable impression of him.
Well, what's weird is not that Andy Reid ever disliked Brian Daboll, but when he took over in Kansas City, he got rid of everybody, including him.
Yep.
So I don't know.
They probably didn't know him.
I agree. I don't think it was a personal thing, but I also wonder, like, does he feel bad? And this is almost like, you know what? Let me put this guy over as the crowd was chanting, fire Daboll, start Dart. Like, it was.
Let's also not forget that in 2000. And 12 when he went to Kansas City, Andy Reid took over in 13. Andy Reid was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, for why he got rid of Dave.
Dave's was the offensive coordinator.
I completely understand why he did it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to fit. But I'm just trying to connect why Andy Reid felt so passionate right after a win over the opposing coach. He doesn't normally do that.
I don't think coaches in the NFL like seeing other coaches fired. Like, I don't think that's their mission in life is to... How can I embarrass this other guy and cost him his job?
Right.
I don't think that's ever, unless you just, this guy's just a known jerk.
Unless it's Belichick and Mangini.
Yes.
Where you just don't like the person.
Just legitimately have animosity towards each other. So I think that's basically what it came down to.
Or maybe he heard the crowd and was like, you know what? I'm going to go defend this guy.
Probably. But he also, you go watch that Washington game. And as he said, Washington's really good.
Yeah.
Giants played scrappy in that game. Offensively, they were anemic and terrible, but they played scrappy in that game. And then obviously against Dallas, they scored 37 points.
There's one thing Andy said that I could see a lot of Giant fans hearing and screaming at the radio. Don't tell us to be patient.
Yeah.
You guys been here for four years.
No, you can't be patient.
I mean, come on. Right. But I thought that was interesting. Andy Reid going out of his way.
I think he's saying be patient because he has a new quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Well, three previous years, actually, really, it's just the two previous years. Because year one, not a Giant fan is disgruntled about that.
No, it was a great year.
It is year two and three, you're just like, come on.
Right.
Seriously? This is what, I don't want to pay to go see this. It's not competitive football. I think what he's saying be patient with is a young quarterback who, you know, could be really good, could be terrible. We don't know. You got to be patient with it.
No, he was praising Russell Wilson, though, because he was the quarterback at the time.
Keep in mind, though. Andy Reid's team was 0-2 and in a dogfight with that Giant team. So that's another way to tell his own people, man, this Giant team's much better than you think. So
you think it had nothing to do with the Giants?
I'm not saying it had nothing to do with it. He did put Daboll
over. I think what he's saying is Dave's team teams play hard.
I think you hit on something. You said coaches don't want other coaches to be fired and embarrassed. And I think Andy Reid heard what was going on in that stadium. He heard it. I mean, people were chanting for Brian Daboll to be fired. Andy Reid, and I know you've talked about players not hearing things.
Yes.
I don't know if coaches are the same way. I mean, Andy Reid, who coached in Philly and certainly knows what the pressure cooker is like, I think he heard it, and I think he said, you know what? I'm going to take 90 seconds out of my press conference to be a good human being.
Right.
So there you go. Let's get back to your telephone calls. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up today, Chris?
Hey, Teke and Evan. I want to talk about the Mets, and I had a question for both of you. Tona Tong, obviously a huge start. I like him. I trust him. I mean, as much as I can, a young pitcher. My only concern is he's a high ball pitcher, and in that ballpark, you know, that's just something on my mind. And Evan, I don't know, has he thrown to only Alvarez? I'm curious to know what his previous starts, what catcher he had. But what I wanted to say is, who do you think outside of Tong is the most important Met potentially in tonight's game? Because I have a crazy theory.
In tonight's game, it's Francisco Lindor because he's got massive numbers against Matthew Boyd. Like, he's seen him a lot. They shared a division, and he's got big numbers against him. So I would hope that Lindor, who is the catalyst for this team and was last night as well, I think he is probably the guy offensively I circle and say him.
Yeah, but even if he does have a big day, does it mean that everybody else is going to have a big day?
No. I mean, listen, it's baseball.
He got off for the home run last night, right? And it was anemic until the fifth inning.
Jonah Tong has been caught by Luis Torrens in three games and Francisco Alvarez in one game. The one game Alvarez caught was the game against Texas.
He got crushed.
Where he got knocked out.
Wow.
So I got to check the lineup. There's actually two things tonight with the Yankees and the Mets involving catchers and pitchers' connections.
Don't mess with anything. Start Torrens.
Well, spoiler alert, it's not Luis Torrens. So Francisco Alvarez, who did hit the big home run last night, is going to catch Jonah Tong.
So his bat is more important than his framing and pitch calling.
I think that what Mendy's probably looking at is he's looking at Friday against Texas as an outlier and not putting that on Alvarez because he happened to catch him and putting a premium on offense. The other thing that I find really interesting, do you guys know what this is about the Yankees in terms of pitchers and catchers?
Yes.
And I had to look this up because I couldn't believe it.
Yep.
A friend texted me this 2 days ago and said, hey, do you know that Max Fried has not been caught by Ben Rice this season?
Wow.
And I said, is that true?
Wow.
Okay, let me fact check, because clearly we got to fact check, even myself.
I mean, but Ben Rice didn't start really catching until more than halfway through, right?
But he's still been catching at a frequent enough basis.
Yeah, but how much of that was after the All-Star break when he had the blister and he needed someone who knew, like, would he throw better off speed? You know what I mean?
Well, so Ben Rice, just looking at the last 2 months, you're right. Like, Wells still catches most of the time, but it just never matched up. Like, when Ben Rice would catch basically once every three games. That's like a fair description of how often it is. So it's not half the time. It's not like this is an obvious Greg Maddux situation.
Not a platoon, right.
Right. It's not obvious. That's why it probably snuck up on me, because Ben Rice doesn't catch a lot. But Ben Rice catches every 3 days. And you look at who he's caught. He caught Carlos Rodon. He caught Luis Gil. He caught Will Warren. He caught Cam Schlittler. He caught Cam Schlittler. He caught Luis Gil. He caught Will Warren. He caught Cam Schlittler. He caught Luis Gil. Like, you see, he's catching the same guys. He has not caught Max Fried one time this season until tonight. Tonight, in Max Fried's final regular season start, he is being caught by Ben Rice for the first time this season.
Do you forget Showbiz? Do you forget, Evan?
What?
We know he hasn't caught him because we've been waiting for this day to say this.
What?
We predicted it when Ben Rice started catching, and it never came to fruition.
What are you talking about?
When will we be able to utter the words, the Yankees battery tonight is Fried Rice?
Have you been thinking about
this? Yes, we said it the first day Ben Rice called. Oh, we can't wait for that.
I forgot.
And we haven't been able to mention it yet because it hasn't happened.
So you knew about this is what you're saying. Because of the bit.
Yes, and it's been a Yankee-like social media thing. When are we getting Fried Rice? When are we getting Fried Rice? When are we getting Fried Rice?
All right, well, you got it tonight. Are you excited?
I can't wait.
What are you going to do with that information now? Are you going to tweet out Fried Rice?
I think you ordered Chinese food tonight. I think you watched the game with some Fried Rice.
Max Fried has made 31 starts, 27 of them caught by Austin Wells, the other four by J.C. Ascara. Mm. So this is the first time we are getting Fried Rice. All right, well, this is very exciting.
My eyes lit up when you were going here. I'm like, oh, he's going to do the Fried Rice payoff. He didn't even get there.
I forgot about it. I forgot that you were excited about Fried Rice. Like, what do you do with that now? Okay, great. The battery's Fried Rice. Michael Kay is going to say something dopey at 7:15. We're all going to chuckle awkwardly. And then what? Like, is that, it's over.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. And all that's wrong with this country. Can we have a giggle over a baseball battery?
You know what I think is funnier? Not the battery. In nowadays, with the score bugs, they put the pitcher's name and then the batter's name. It'd be funnier if Max Fried was facing Ben Rice, so it would say Fried Rice on the screen. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay.
Well, I see.
Thank you.
Most people wouldn't notice it.
Yeah.
All you got to do is read the screen. It's right in front of you.
It was like when that famous picture, the picture of the two West Virginia football players next to each other on the bench, last name Dingle, the other last name Berry.
Yes. It's very similar. Well, congratulations to Fried Rice and everyone who's been waiting for this day. This is actually pretty important because you never want to be in a spot where in the postseason you're doing something you haven't done all year. Mm. It doesn't mean I'm concerned about Ben Rice catching Max Fried. I don't think it's a problem. But there is something kind of less than ideal about building a lineup for that postseason game and saying, oh, I'm going to put Ben Rice behind the plate. Oh, wait, he hasn't done it yet with Fried.
If he's not good, then does this mean you can't use...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm behind the plate with Max Fried.
It's an interesting question. I would still feel comfortable with it unless Max Fried tells me I don't like working with him.
Yeah.
The way Greg Maddux would say it about Javier Lopez every year. If the connection is fine, it could just be a bad outing. Because bad outings happen.
Yeah.
You're not always great. I would trust Max Fried's kind of judgment on that, but I don't think it's going to be a problem.
I don't think so either.
But that is for the first time this season. So keep an eye on the batteries tonight. Alvarez catching Tong for only the second time, the other time being the Texas debacle, and Ben Rice catching Max Fried for the very first time. Michael is in New York. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
Mike. Mike going once. Mike is gone. We'll go to Elvis in Orange County. Hey, Elvis.
Hey, Ev. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Ev. I just happened to turn the radio on when you were talking about the Mets hitting.
Yeah.
Who were the teams that are ahead of them scoring runs? It was the Dodgers.
It's basically Milwaukee. It's every National League playoff team except San Diego.
All right, let me ask you something. Hitting is not the problem with the Mets this year. If you go down their lineup, they had a better year this year hitting than they did last year. Even Alvarez. I mean, Alvarez has been on the injured reserve list, I mean, all year. So he hasn't even gotten a groove, but he's still having a better year than last year. Beatty's having a better year than last year. Lindor is just about the same. Soto's better. Alonso's better. So how can you say it's the hitting?
Because
the
pitching
is what's killed them.
Because look, the pitching. Elvis, the pitching has killed them too. I'm not disputing what's happened in the second half. What I'm saying is they needed to have
don't
an
hang up.
I'm not. I'm giving you an answer. You don't have to agree with
me. No, I know. But I know you're going to hang up when you realize you're wrong.
No, I never do that. I hang up when I'm bored by you. But I'm not bored by you. It's a fun debate.
No,
the Mets needed to have... No, I'll answer your question. We could fight about it if you want. I think the Mets always needed to have an elite-level offense because I don't think anyone ever thought their pitching would be, like, good enough, like, elite level. So I always thought this had to be a top-three offense in the National League, and they're not. They're behind six other teams. Do you think that's good enough?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong. You look at their batting averages and RBIs, there's nothing wrong with their hitting.
No.
Let me ask you a question.
No, but hold on. I want to ask you a question. They're seventh in the National League in offense. Do you think that's good enough?
Out of how many teams? That's not so bad.
15. No, it's not good. It's not good enough. It's middle of the pack. It's not good enough.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you this question. How about the beginning of the year when they weren't hitting at all and they were first place with the best record? Now it's the opposite.
Right. It was all pitching.
Well, because
it's
the pitching...
all pitching. Everything's pitching.
No, I'm sorry. I disagree with you. Like, the pitching has been it's been bad in the second half.
Tiki, what do you think, Tiki?
The problem
with
this
team... What, are you breaking
team,
the tie by no, saying Tiki decides?
This team in general just hasn't been consistent all the way through.
Right.
And so you have the season-long issue, which is when the pitching was great, the hitting wasn't great. Then you got the hitting, you know, individually hitting well, then the pitching starts to fall apart. And then you're bringing up all the kids, and it's like, all right, we got to support these young kids with runs, right? They're not grizzled veterans. They're 24-year-olds. So it just has not been fully put together.
Yeah.
As pitchers or as hitters this entire season long.
100%.
And it's why they're sitting in the spot that they're sitting in. Because as Carlos Mendoza had said 1,000 times this year, it's almost become... you know, the it's right in front of us from Booney. It's we have a good roster. Of course you have a good roster, but why isn't everybody performing collectively?
I can't defend what's happened to the pitching in the second half. It's been abysmal, but we are now basically through a complete season.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the season, and I'm going to give you the numbers and the facts, and I think this is tough to dispute. If I told you at the beginning of the season the Mets are going to have the eighth best ERA in the National League at 4.00, the average ERA in the National League is 4.24. They have a slightly above average season pitching.
Right.
That's what the facts tell you. Now, does it include 2 months of pitching far better than what they were? Absolutely. Does it include 3 months of falling off the rail? Of course, I get it. But we're talking about the full sample size. They're pitching to a 4 ERA, which is middle of the pack. That's what I looked at the beginning of the year and said, yeah, that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I believed that they were going to win 90 games or 89 games to be exact was I thought they'd score more runs. I thought they'd be better than seventh in the National League, which is what they are. So I get what we've witnessed. I get what David Peterson did last night. I get the state of the rotation. No one's arguing what's happened recently. I'm talking about the whole sample size. At the beginning of the year, having a 4 ERA and being eighth in the National League would have been fine. It would have been.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't be seventh in the National League in offense.
Right.
I went through this whole boring thing in March. I'll never forget this. Sean rolled his eyes 3 times. I said, here, the facts tell me if you're a top 7 offense or a top 7 offense in baseball, not the National League, you make the playoffs. And I was backing it up. You have to score runs. You have to score runs. You got to be top 7 in baseball. You got to be top 7 in baseball. They're not. They're not. They haven't been as good as we thought. You want to go through the individual years? Like you said, Teak, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the individual seasons. I'm talking about the team. They have not scored enough runs as a whole. That's just the facts. I mean, I don't know how anyone could dispute that. If I sat there with Positive Tommy in March when he picked them to win 120 games and said the Mets are going to be seventh in the National League, you would have said, no, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good enough.
I forgot he picked them to win that many games.
I could say today that they are currently not on pace to win 120 games. They're going to fall just slightly short of that
right.
projection.
But you would agree, seventh in the National League in runs scored was not good enough.
No doubt. I think it's an interesting case study, though, because he is right. The numbers individually that they've put up are better than what they did last year, including Juan Soto, what he did with the Yankees, yet the runs haven't been there. I don't know if it was the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position for the first, 4 months or so.
It's lack of big hitting. That's definitely a part of it. And the other part of it is the bottom half after the stars.
Yeah.
Alonso, fine. Soto, fine. Pete, fine. Nimmo, fine. Well, there's 5 other guys in your lineup. I mean, there's the catcher position. Not fine. There's center field. Not fine. There's designated hitter. Not fine. There's third base. Not fine. Like, it just adds up. I mean, however you want to get there, the Mets are seventh in the National League in runs scored. That's not good enough.
No.
It never was good enough.
Right. And they might sneak their way in doing that, but it's not going to feel like they earned it in some ways, with their hitting at least.
They didn't perform the way we expected at the beginning of the season.
Right.
And I can't wait. We saved all our predictions. We're going to go through them on, I guess, maybe Friday, or maybe we'll wait until the season's over on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday and see how accurate we are. But yes, Tommy did pick the Mets to win 120 games.
And for a long part of the season, they were on pace for that. Now, they went through a little bit of a rough patch.
When were they on pace for that exactly?
Opening day?
They lost opening day.
The second game of the year?
Yeah, they were 500 at that time.
Okay. Right.
Keep going. There was never a pace.
Well, really, until you lose 40-something games, you're on pace.
Let's see. Right? Let's see. That would have been mid-July?
Carry the one.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah,
you guys can give this up.
It was like mid-July.
They were never on that
pace. I was counting, of course, October in that.
Meanwhile, I picked them to win 89 games, and I was told by everybody I was being too negative. Meanwhile, geez.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.